No jab, no entry. That's looking like the rule across much of Australia as businesses reopen after COVID lockdowns. Getting into a restaurant, a cinema or a pub could require proof of vaccination. But should the same rule apply to a place of worship? Joel Harrison is a law lecturer at Sydney University and an expert in questions of religious liberty. He's speaking here with Andrew West.
What you have to assess is whether any limitation on somebody's exercise of religion, in this case the association component, is, for example, rational. Is it necessary? Are there alternatives? Is the balance being right as between the liberty of, say, the group here and what they're trying to do in balance with the public interest, in this case, the public health interest? Those assessments are done, and they would be done in the New South Wales context, I think, still as a matter of political deliberation.
I know this is ultimately a political decision in a sense, but what if the priests or pastors or imams or rabbis were to simply turn a blind eye and not demand proof of vaccination at the door of their place of worship, and this ultimately ended up in court? How do you think that might play out? Would a court be reluctant in pursuing this?
I think it would just play out in the same way you have other conscientious objection cases. You know, you have cases where people chain themselves to trees and chain themselves in the context of mining and so on, and whether that first offending, you know, leads to actual sentencing and these sorts of things. I think the optics would be the fascinating point to what your question is raising here, because the law that potentially is being proposed downstream, and this is all uncertain, of course. We don't know what's going to happen in the context of this roadmap to freedom, so I don't think we should be hasty in making full assessments. But yes, if it's a case of what you're asking is that somebody would have to check the vaccination passport of a person, meaning presumably that fines could be imposed upon a church or people could be committed for an offence, or you have the optics of police entering into a church, middle of a service, after it, whatever it is, to check, in fact, that people have had their vaccine passports looked at. And I think those optics are going to be incredibly problematic if that's the state we actually get to.
The religious leaders who have written to the New South Wales government say that the service they're providing is not an entertainment, it's not a recreation, that for many people, religious observance is a necessity. In a legal situation, would that bolster their case?
So again, the legality of it is difficult because there's nothing to hook onto here, I don't think. There's nothing to say you've breached something like the Bill of Rights in the United States. Our free exercise clause in the Constitution is at the Commonwealth level only. So if we're dealing with New South Wales, again, these are going to be matters of political debate. And that's why you see this negotiation going on between the religious leaders. But let's take the Archbishop of Sydney, the Catholic Archbishop of Sydney, Anthony Fisher's statement that no one should be excluded from communion. Now, what does he mean by that? You know, he's saying that no one should be excluded from communion with God, the actual act of Eucharistic celebration, right? There, he's saying that actually that's at the heart of our religious liberty claim.
Do we know how this issue of church closures or limitations on worship has been dealt with overseas in other jurisdictions?
Look, there's been multiple debates and claims around this. Lower courts in Scotland have referred to the European Convention on Human Rights and disproportionately limiting religious liberty by criminalising the meeting of churches during lockdowns. There was a lot of debate in Ireland around what some people were framing as banning the Eucharistic celebration. In the United States, there's been a lot of cases that came up during their lockdowns over whether it was unconstitutional to allow the opening of, say, shopping malls and cinemas while closing churches. And that was just a basic claim of equality. If you're going to allow the opening of some institutions, then you should allow reciprocally the opening up of religious organizations and so on, unless you could provide a rational reason for why those should be distinguished, right? But that's just a very thin claim of treating with equal treatment.
That's Joel Harrison, law lecturer at Sydney Uni. You can hear more of that discussion on the Religion and Ethics Report with Andrew West at 5:30 this afternoon right here on RN.